Okay. Those of you that are on the radio, thank you for being here. Those of you that aren't on the radio, thank you for being here. We are in Luke chapter 4, starting off right at the top of the book. I'm looking for something here. I got, and I'll mess with that later. Anyway, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and of course we are using the King James. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, this is kind of what confused me when I was in John. I think John skips this. Yeah, John skips this section of him going into the wilderness. He goes right from being baptized, and then all of a sudden, it looks like the very next day, Jesus is walking up, and then John the Baptist is saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," right there in chapter 1, on verse 29. And so I was like for 3 days trying to figure out what was going on until I realized John just doesn't mention the desert, the 40 days. And could it be from what Sister White witnessed in vision? Was it that because John saw Jesus in the desert and it was something that he did not want to relate because of the way Jesus was so drawn out and, 40 days of temptation. It was, 40 days of trial, whatever. But I remember reading somewhere in Sister White's writings where she saw him in that in the desert. So anyway, continuing, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did nothing, or did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now this verse right here always comes to mind like with an email I got today. Now this guy that I got an email today from was a little bit more crafty than most Catholics, and it was a Catholic. You know, for some reason I've been getting more emails from SDAs lately, but in the last few years. But every now and then I'll get it from the Catholics again, you know, because I don't know, they're just giving up on me or something. I don't know. At least it makes it easier. Or my spam killer's getting it. I'm hoping it could be the case. But I do get a lot of positive emails from Catholics. When I say a bad one is what I'm talking about now. And he started off like some Catholics people will do, and this is a good experience for those people on the street or those people starting in ministry online. They'll act like they're honestly seeking some answers in regards to some doctrinal issues. And to get your attention. And once they got your attention, this guy went a little further. Usually they go, bam, right after they got your attention, they go through the throat. But this guy went with another question and started acting like everything was all hunky-dory. And then when I finally started sharing some facts and figures about Catholicism and that, boy, the floodgates opened and he just let out a whole mess of problems. And on top of that, he was doing similar to that which the devil was doing here in verse 3. Satan knew Jesus is the Son of God. 40 days prior, he heard the Father's voice declare it from heaven, just like everybody else heard it. Well, half the people heard thunder because they just plain didn't believe. But the devils believe and tremble, so they have no problem hearing the Father's voice. So he's actually only tempting Jesus to respond to him in anger. He's trying to draw him out to make doubt come. In other words, it's like what the guy was doing with me in email, or it happens to be on the street at times as well. They try to get you to respond to them, even though they know. They just use the lie to try to get you to respond. They just know that you know the answer. It's just a matter of starting a conversation, kind of like a sand ballot kind of a thing, throwing a bunch of stones at you. But going on, verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." This is a lie. Satan has no power to place anyone as king. It is God that sets up king. You know, God is one that sets up the kings, the queens, and the paupers as well as the rich. You know, the devil can tempt people into certain situations. He may be arrogant enough to think that he's actually doing this, when in fact he is, he's tempting people into that realm. But the fact of the matter is, the devil can't offer anything but death. And something that I've always noticed here was, I don't know if Luke mentions this. No, he doesn't. I don't know if it's which one of the Gospels mentions it, but I do recall one of them mentions the fact that not only does the devil take him up to the high mountain, shows him all the kings of the world in a moment of time, like it says here in verse 5, but the word glory is brought into there, brought into the mix. In other words, showing the glory of all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You know, all the best parts, just like he does for the meth addict, or just like he does with the alcoholic, or the sex addict. Whatever the problem is with the person, he shows them the glory of it, all the fun times, everything that's wonderful. He's not showing Jesus the wars. He's not showing them the famine. He's not showing them the earthquakes and all the tribulations that are going to be going on into mankind's future. He's showing them the glory. He's showing him the, all the best parts. And that's what he does to mankind, too. He dangles the carrot, and as soon as you go for it, then you really see what's up. It's like the Book of Psalms, I believe it is, where it talks about, men think. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they think what they're headed for or they're starting to do is good, but in the end, it's their death. It's their destruction. All right, verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine, he says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And that's another thing that you notice, like sometimes in the emails when people attack me, I'll respond with scripture. And lately I've been seeing it a positive response. But sometimes, boy, they really get their blood up when you do that. And you can't blame yourself. Don't sit there and say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have showed that scripture. Look, you're not the one that wrote the Bible. Scripture is scripture. Truth is truth. If it upset them, it's because they love the darkness more than the light. Verse 9 says, and he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written. Now here he's turning the tables a little bit. He's trying to use the scriptures against him. Because that's what a lot of these preachers do today too. With their false theologies, they'll sit there and say, well, the Bible says this. But I also know Isaiah says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So I'm going to go around and I'm going to double check and make sure that what you're saying matches up with the scriptures. But 9 times out of 10, most of the people out there in the churches are just preacher echoes anyway, and so they're not going to do that. They're not going to surf their Bibles, as we would say in today's lingo. But the devil says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Okay, because he's coming back. Let me stop here for a minute. I'm going to read here what Sister Bonnie just put in the room from Bible Commentaries, Volume 5. As long as nobody messes with the text chat. It says, this presumptuous blasphemy and insult to Jehovah excited the indignation of Christ and led him to exercise his divine authority and command Satan in an authoritative, dignified manner to desist. Here, Satan, in his pride and arrogance, declared him to be the rightful and permanent ruler of the world, the possessor of all its glory, as though he had created the world and all the riches and the glory contained in it. He endeavored to make a special contract with Christ to make over to him at once the whole of his claim, if he would worship him. Here Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. They were presented in the most attractive light. Okay. That's like what I was saying before. He offered them to Jesus if he would there worship him. He told Jesus that he would relinquish his claims of the possessions of earth. Satan knew that his power must be limited and finally taken away if the plan of salvation could be carried out. He knew that if Jesus should die to redeem man, his power would end after a season, and he would be destroyed. Therefore, it is his studied plan to prevent, if possible, the completion of the great work which had been commenced by the Son of God. If the plan of man's redemption should fail, he would retain the kingdom which he then claimed, and if he should succeed, he flattered himself that he would reign in opposition to the God of heaven. And the last one here, let me scroll up. Oh, there's two more. Satan had called this world his territory. Here his seat is, and he holds in allegiance to himself all who refuse to keep God's commandments. who reject the plain, thus saith the Lord. They stand under the enemy's banner, for there are but two parties in the world. All rank either under the banner of the obedient or under the banner of the disobedient. Here Satan, in his pride and arrogance, declared himself to be the rightful and permanent ruler of the world, the possessor of all its glory. As though, oh, look at that, that's just a repeat of what we just read a minute ago. So, but there it is in a nutshell there. Let me scroll back over to here. All right, verse 14. Now I got something in my throat here. All right, tickle. Oops, hold on. Okay. H2O. Got some right here. Now, if anybody else wants to read, they can read. But yeah, either way, don't matter to me. All right, verse 14. Oh, go ahead there, Chris.
Sure. How you guys did this, like, you know, I know when we were doing Sister White Fridays, we tend to read two or three or four and kind of stop, and the next person in line picks up. So since you weren't stopping, I'll go let you keep reading. But anyway, I think we're at verse 14 in Luke here. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We're now in verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon them. Verse 21, he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And that ought to totally have ticked off some of the leaders and Pharisees, but he said it. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Verse 23. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. That's Jesus talking about not those people that he grew up with not accepting him for who he was. Verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. 27. Hi, LG. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, but the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. Verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, that spirit, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Verse 36. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the fame of him went out to every place of the country round about. Verse 38. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. And by the way, that was Simon Peter, one of the apostles, wife's mother. So Simon Peter was married, unlike the Saint Peter of the Catholic. The Catholics claim that their clergy and papacy descended from Saint Peter, and yet they can't be married. And here, the very person they claim to be descended from was married. So go figure. And that verse right there just shows it. That's Simon Peter and his wife's mother. There you go. Just go look in the book. All kind of answers in the good book. I think we're at verse 40. And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And that's just another example of when the devils know, the devils believe, and the demons believe and tremble. They know who Christ is. They've known him since he created them. They are all created beings, and Christ is the creator. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. We're in verse 44, and this is the last one on this page anyway. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee.
Okay, amen. Not bad, too, because we started late. And now we have the ability to go right into Sister White's writings. So let me turn off.